Your next speaker is Eddie Parrish.
A man comes home from a busy day at work. One of his harder days. He's absolutely exhausted. All he wants to do when he gets home is to go in and have supper, sit down in his easy chair for a while and relax, and then go to bed early. And as he stumbles through the front door, meeting him there is his wife. Smile across her face, grinning from ear to ear, excitement written all over her face. She obviously has some news to tell him, and he inquires, "What's up?" And she says, "Honey, we're having a baby." Obviously, the husband forgets his fatigue. He doesn't think about how tired he is, and he gets excited as well and says, "Sweetheart, that's absolutely wonderful. You could not have given me any news that would have made my day any happier than the news you've just given me. I'm as excited can be." And she says, "I know, isn't it great? It's been terrible for me to have to wait all day to tell you. I can't believe I'm going to be a mother. You're going to be a dad." And she says, "Why don't we've got to get on the phone and call our family. We've got to call our friends. We've got to let everybody know." And the husband looks at her and says, "What, are you nuts? You want to call people? You want to tell people this?" Obviously, that's not the way that story would have ended. Because good news, by its very nature, is news that we want to share with other people. Would a grandparent ever not want to tell about their grandkids? Can you imagine someone walking up to a person saying, "Congratulations, I just heard the news. You've just had your first grandchild." And the guy says, "Yeah, well, whatever." Not going to happen. Because that's what good news is. It's something that we want to include other people in. We want to share things like that with people. In our text tonight from 2 Kings 7, we learn about good news. But the good news comes later. There's a little bad news first. So let's cover that first, and then we'll look at the good news. This was taking place during the time that we normally refer to as the divided kingdom. Israel, for a number of years, had been united together. And after Solomon's death, you remember how the kingdom divided into two. Kingdom of Israel to the north and Judah to the south. And during this period of time, good news was really hard to come by. Things weren't really shaping up in Israel or Judah for a happy ending. And because of the division in the kingdom, neither of those two kingdoms were as strong as they would have been had they been united. And I guess that's really a lesson in and of itself. But the kingdom was divided and each was weak. And so because of that, both the northern and southern kingdoms were attacked by outside forces on more than one occasion. And one such attack involved the northern kingdom, and they were besieged by Syria and their king Ben-Hadad. We read about that in the chapters leading up to 2 Kings 7. And the capital city of the northern kingdom, Samaria, was besieged by the Syrians, and they had basically gotten God's people caught in the city and they couldn't get out, didn't want to get out. And ultimately, food became scarce. People were running out of things to eat. Famine was the result. And things had gotten so bad in Samaria that we read in 2 Kings 6, and you might want to look at verses 24 and following, and read the horrible story about how two women had decided that they were going to deal with their hunger by taking their children and eating them. Talk about a terrible circumstance. And as a part of this suffering were four leprous men. It was bad enough that they had leprosy, a terrible disease. Disease that even in its worst stages would cause fingers and toes to fall from the body. That was bad enough. But add to that, they were also experiencing these famine conditions too. I guess if there was ever anyone that needed some good news, these four lepers would be in that category. And so we're going to look tonight at their circumstances. We're going to look at what happened to them. And I hope in the process draw out some lessons that I think will be helpful to us, that will be challenging to us. And we're going to do this by looking at three points. These will be easy to remember. If you're taking notes, these will be easy to write down. They'll be easy to remember if you're not, because they all start with the letter D. And hopefully by these three points we'll be able to challenge ourselves to do better. We're talking tonight about a day of good news. A day of good news. And as we do that, let's first of all talk about the desperation. The desperation. Notice with me in 2 Kings 7, verses 3 and 4. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die." These four leprous men were discussing their plight. They had resigned themselves to the reality of their own deaths. They were convinced of the fact that they were going to die. They said, if we sit here where we are, we're going to die because we have no food. They said, well, we could go into the city, into Samaria, but there's no food there either. So we go there, we die. They realized that their only hope was to throw themselves at the mercy of the enemy. They basically reasoned that there's food in the Syrian camp. So if we go over there, they could choose, if they're merciful, to give us some of the food and save us alive. Or they could choose to kill us. But we're going to die if we stay here anyway, so this is our only hope. Let's turn ourselves over to the enemy. That sound like desperation to you? That's desperation if I ever saw it. They had some serious needs. And we're in a quandary about how to get those needs met. Now let's take a step out of biblical history and place ourselves back where we are today. You know, there are people that are desperate today too. There are people facing a similar desperation. There are starving people in the world today. But I'm not talking about physical starvation, though that does exist. There are people today that are starving spiritually. People that are destitute of blessings that only God can provide them. And many of them don't know how to get them. People today basically want the same things. I'm convinced of that. People today want peace of mind. People today want joy in life. People want to enjoy life. People want stability. Nobody likes for their lives to be characterized by that old up-in-the-air feeling where nothing's stable, nothing's secure. People want stability. People want meaning to life. They want to know what life's purpose is. They want to know what they're here for. What they're expected to do, where they're going. And there are people that recognize those needs, but they don't know how or where to find satisfaction for those needs. Let me tell you about Jeff and Allison Bushman. Probably don't know who they are. Some of you may. I don't know. If you have any ties to Odessa, you may know who these people are. But Jeff and Allison, a fine couple with three beautiful daughters, live out in Odessa, Texas, that I met when I lived out there and preached there. At the invitation of some of our members, they began to attend Bible classes and worship there. And over time, I was privileged to be able to study the Bible with them, and ultimately, the husband, Jeff, and the wife, Allison, and their oldest daughter obeyed the gospel. The other two were a bit young at the time. And they continued to grow and mature. And I remember one Sunday morning in Bible class, Allison, the wife, raised her hand and wanted to say something. I don't remember what we were studying at the time, but I remember what she said. She said, "For a long time, Jeff and I bounced around in this city from one place to the next, from one church to the next, one denomination to the next. And we go to a place for a while and we realize that that really wasn't what we needed. And so we'd go somewhere else. And we'd try that out and it really wasn't what we needed." She said, "I couldn't tell you at that time what it was we did need, but I knew that we weren't finding it anywhere." And she said, "Then we came here. And one of the first things that we noticed, not only in the classes we attended, but what our kids were telling us about the classes they were attending, and what was so refreshing," she said, "was that when y'all got together, you opened up the Bible and studied it." She said, "Other places that we went to, they talked about current events or they talked about this political thing or that or whatever was going on in the community and football and whatever else. And it was like a breath of fresh air when we came in here and found a group of people that were studying the Bible. And we finally realized once we got here, that's what we were missing." They didn't have peace of mind, and they knew it. They didn't know where to find it. They didn't have joy. Oh, you can get the quick fix of, a bit of happiness here and there, but they didn't have that lasting joy that can see you through anything life throws your way. And she said, "Hopefully, I hope that y'all don't forget what you've got here." Don't take for granted the emphasis that you place on getting into God's Word. And after she made those comments, I felt both encouraged and discouraged. Encouraged by being grateful that this couple that had been searching for so long had found what they needed. Obviously encouraged by that. But discouraged when I realized that what she was saying about others is no doubt true. How many people are out those doors in this area starving to death spiritually. In desperation, that's our word, remember? Desperately trying to find satisfaction for those things that they know they need, but they don't know where to find them. Desperation. And a lot of people in that state of desperation will turn to the wrong things to try to find something that will satisfy what they're missing. Some will turn to alcohol, other drugs. Some will turn to just simply gratifying physical pleasures. Some will turn to materialism, money, stuff, just trying to accumulate more and more things, thinking that that'll somehow give them what they're looking for. And yet, they can gather as much stuff as they want. They can try to gratify whatever physical pleasures they may want to gratify. They can ingest whatever drugs they want to ingest. But none of those things give them what they're seeking. They don't have the joy. They don't have peace of mind. They don't have stability. They don't have purpose in life, meaning to life. They don't have any of those things because those things don't offer stability, joy, happiness, and peace. That's the desperation. But thankfully, that's not where the story ends. We move, number two, the discovery. The discovery. Look back to our text, 2 Kings 7. Beginning verse 5. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried away some from there also and went and hid it. So as these lepers decide, we're going to throw ourselves at the mercy of the Syrians. They go to the Syrian camp and to their surprise find the camp's been completely abandoned. There's nobody there. Some horses there and a lot of belongings and food. See, what they didn't realize, as the text tells us, is that during the night, God had caused the Syrians to hear the sound of chariots and horses. It's one of the interesting miracles of the Bible for God to affect their hearing that way. And they thought that there was a great army, that Israel had gotten the Hittites and Egyptians together and they're attacking us, and they, like a bunch of scared rabbits, just got up and left everything behind and ran away. And the lepers get into the camp, and when they see the food and the clothing and the wealth, they take advantage of it. Absolutely gorge themselves. They go into one tent, find some food. They take that, eat it. Find some material things, go out and hide it so they can go back and get it later. And they go into another tent, find some more food, eat it. They had hit the jackpot. They had found what they needed. You know, there are a lot of people today that have found what they need too, spiritually. There are a lot of people that have been out there in the past. They've experienced the starvation. They've experienced the feeling of need. But thanks be to God, many of us have found what we need. Many of us have now been able to eat of that bread of life, John 6:35. Many of us have drunk freely of that living water, John 4:10. We've had our spiritual starvation ended. If I may carry over the analogy, we have gorged ourselves on all of those spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. Doesn't Ephesians 1:3 say that that's where all of them are? All spiritual blessings in Christ. Included among those, redemption from sin. Ephesians 1:7, in Christ. Eternal life is in His Son. 1 John 5:11. The grace of God in Christ. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. The love of God in Christ. Romans 8:39. Just like those lepers went into a tent and found what they needed, we have entered into the body of Christ and found what we needed. And God took care of our spiritual starvation. We have found the good life. All those people that are out there that need stability, that need joy and happiness and peace of mind and all those things we've talked about, if you're a Christian tonight, you have found all of that. Because you've come into the location where all those things are. And you have been able to eat of all of those blessings. We've found the good life. Peter said, 1 Peter 3, verse 10, "For he that would love life and see good days." See, God wants us to do that. He wants us to love life. And He gives us the instructions on how to do that. Refrain your tongue from evil, your lips they speak no guile, seek peace, pursue it, all those things that He lists there. That's what we found. All things that pertain unto life, 2 Peter 1:3, found in Christ. You want to love life? You want to know what you need to get through life? It'll be found in Jesus Christ. Happy are the people whose God is Jehovah. Psalm 144, verse 15. Brethren, we found it. But notice that neither the lepers nor us found what we respectively needed without God. God worked things out in that first scenario where those lepers could come across what they needed. God was involved in that. We're not going to find, nor did we find, all those things that we needed apart from God. Because the way of man, remember, is not in himself. Jeremiah 10:23. We know that passage. There's a part of us that God created that can only be satisfied through Him. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, God has put eternity in our hearts. There's a part of us that is eternal. And that distinguishes us from everything else God created. Plants don't have this, though they're living things. Animals don't have this. We humans do. God has put eternity in our hearts. You see, we have a spiritual side. And until we address those spiritual needs, we're not going to have a fulfilled life. We can go out and make all the money we want. But if we don't address the spiritual things, if we don't address that eternal part of us that God placed within us as a part of our being, we won't have the fulfillment that we seek. It's only found in and through God. They started with desperation, but they made a discovery. And that led them to the duty. The duty. Look back in 2 Kings 7, beginning in verse 9. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household." So as these lepers had come into the Syrian camp, and gone into these tents and found that food, and as they were eating the food, there was something that started eating at the lepers. And it wasn't their leprosy. was their conscience. They were gorging themselves on their newly found food. And all of a sudden, they realized there was a city full of people suffering a famine. Perhaps they thought about their countrymen back in Samaria, starving to death. Perhaps they knew about some of these cannibalistic things that some people had evidently resorted to. And they said, "We do not well. We're not doing right. This is a day of good news. And we remain silent." And so they got up and went and told the king. You know, this is where many times the similarities in this comparison end. We all understand the desperation, and I think we understand the discovery. But many times it doesn't lead us to the duty. And I must admit, as I studied for and prepared this lesson this week, I was struck with my own negligence. There's a whole metroplex of people outside those doors, the majority of whom are starving to death. And how many of us continue to gorge silently while so many around us are starving? You know, the only way that Israel was going to learn about all that food that was in the Syrian camp, the only way they were going to learn about that was through the ones that had already eaten of it. The people in the city weren't about to go out of the city. They were too scared. The Syrians were out there, they thought. The Syrians had encamped against the city. They'd besieged the city. The people were too scared to get out. So if they were going to learn about what was the abundance freely available, it was going to be through the ones that had found it and had already eaten of it. I wonder how many people there are today that are too scared to venture out into the spiritual quagmire that characterizes the religious scene in our culture today. They're too afraid to get out in it. Because maybe it's too confusing. There's so many different doctrines and different ideas and different teachings out there. It's just too confusing. I don't even want a part of it. Or maybe they're too afraid because they think that the only people out there are people that are trying to get your money. It's too much greed out there. There may be a lot of people that are too afraid to come out. And so the only way that they're going to know about the abundance that's available is through the work of those that have already eaten. And if we don't take it to them, they may not eat at all. Brethren, this is a day of good news because of all that the Lord's done for us. He tasted of death for every man. Hebrews 2:9. That's good news. He came to give His life a ransom for many. Mark 10, verse 45. That's good news. He came to bring peace between man and God. That's good news. There's an abundance available. And you may be someone that has not yet tasted that abundance. You may be one of those people that I described earlier that's been seeking for some peace of mind. You're looking for some kind of stability and joy and happiness and contentment. You're looking for meaning and purpose for your life. Maybe you've bounced around from one place to the next, or from one idea or ideology or doctrine or church, and you've bounced from one to the other trying to find what you're looking for and you haven't found it. If that describes you, The abundance is there. You just need to know how to access it. You've got to turn to Jesus Christ. You've got to believe with all of your heart that He's exactly who He claimed He was. The Son of God. John 8:24 says we must do that. You've also got to be willing to then make up your mind that you're going to change your life. We call that repentance. But that's what it is. You make up your mind that you're going to leave behind your past sinful conduct. And you make a determination, a commitment that come what may, from this point forward, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. God commands all men everywhere to do that. Acts 17, verse 30. And that attitude of doing what God wants should then lead you to be willing to publicly confess with your mouth the faith that you have in Christ. Confess that good confession, as it's called in 1 Timothy 6:12. And then your faith, undergirding all of those things, should prompt you to be baptized. Immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2:38. And when you do that, the blood of Jesus will wash those sins away. Revelation 1:5. The water is not what cleanses. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses, as Revelation 1:5 teaches. Acts 22:16 tells you when the blood cleanses. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. That's when the blood cleanses. And then you're raised to walk a new life. Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. You want stability? You want purpose in life? You want some meaning? You want some joy? You want to have whatever you need at your disposal to get you through whatever life throws your way? That's where it's going to be found, and only where it'll be found. And when you're baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:27, where all of those blessings are. That's the simple plan. Now let me talk for just a moment to those of us that have already eaten. We've been in the tent. We've eaten of the abundance. Now we've got to ask ourselves some questions. Not the least of which is this. Have we been so consumed ourselves with feeding and filling our spiritual bellies that we've lost sight of the starving masses out there? Have we been enjoying the blessings of Christ that He obviously wants us to enjoy? But have we, in the joy that comes through all of those blessings, have we lost sight of the fact that those blessings are not just for our private consumption? If we have, maybe we need to take a cue from four leprous men that we never knew and say to ourselves, we do not well. This is a day of good news, and we remain silent. Brethren, we can't afford to remain silent. If the news is good, we'll be like that new dad. We'll be like that new grandparent. Busting at the seams to tell somebody our good news. If you need to respond tonight as one who needs to eat of that abundance, you know what you must do. You know what you must do. It's up to you to do it. Christian, you that have eaten, let's take some to someone else.